Care Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
And the European Central Bank's Governing Council is widely expected to raise interest rates by another half a percentage point today after its meeting in Frankfurt. Well, to discuss this and some other issues is Michael Dowling, Managing Director of Dowling Financial. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
What exactly does this mean, or will it mean, should it go ahead, Michael?
Well, this, unfortunately, is another 0.5% increase following on from the cumulative increases of 3% in the European Central Bank base rates, which have happened since July last. In monetary terms, it will add 33 euro per 100,000 euro. So if you have a mortgage of 100,000 euro, you're going to face an additional increase of 33 euro per month. This is, again, not good news for mortgage holders, particularly those who are on tracker rates. There's a smaller portion of people are on variable rates, but not good news because it's following on from an accumulation of rate increases.
Right, okay. And despite this, there was some market speculation that the ECB might not follow through by as much as a half a point or even at all after we saw some of the volatility that's been discussed in financial markets following the failure of Silicon Valley Bank in the US. Tell us a little bit about that, Michael, for those who might not be aware what was happening there.
Yes, we've had some very difficult news on the banking front. I mean, we've seen the collapse of the 16th biggest bank in America, Silicon Valley Bank, and also there was difficulties with a smaller bank in New York called Signature Bank. The effect of the failure of the Silicon Valley Bank was that in the U.S., the Federal Reserve is taking stock around its policy of increasing interest rates to try and control inflation because it doesn't, in effect, want to reduce the value of other banks as a result of the collapse of the Silicon Valley. In Europe, we're also faced with worries around one of the largest banks in Europe being Credit Suisse. It's under difficulty over the last number of days and, in fact, has gone to the Swiss Central Bank and has got emergency funding on 50 billion. So that's causing a lot of nervousness on the markets. And for the same reasons, the European Central Bank will be under pressure in terms of the decision it makes today and subsequent increases which have been penciled in. So they may not increase rates as quickly over the next 2 or 3 months, but it'll be very interesting to see the commentary around the announcement today and what it signals it sends out to the market around future increases that had been penciled in. So it's possible future increases may not happen or may not be as high as a result of the failures of the banks in the US and more importantly in the European context, difficulties associated with one of the largest banks in Europe.
Okay, we'll discuss maybe the knock-on effect that this is going to have on house prices in a moment, Michael. And I know yesterday the CSO's residential property price index was released and we have some of the Kildare figures. But as you mentioned there, it's really those that are on tracker mortgages, first-time buyers, that are going to be the most impacted by this announcement that's expected by the ECB today. What advice would you give to people who may be a first-time buyer or on trackers?
Well, certainly if we take first-time buyers, the vast majority of first-time buyers over the last number of years have selected a fixed rate. And it gives them certainty on their repayment, particularly as they are first-time buyers. It's their first home and they've got to get used to a repayment as well as their other day-to-day expenses that they've got to account for. I'm a strong believer in fixed rates, as I say, because of the certainty that it gives in the early stage of somebody's mortgage. There still are reasonable fixed rates out there at the moment. I mean, obviously they have increased since last July, but there's still reasonable value out there. And certainly as a first-time buyer, I would be a strong believer in a 3 or 5 year fixed rate option is the best available and the one I would select as a first-time buyer.
Okay, and on that note then, we've seen the interest rates increasing by certain banks and lenders, the likes of Permanent TSB, AIB, Bank of Ireland remaining kind of behind them there on that. But what would you say to that, and what's the outlook looking like?
Yeah, we've seen like EBS, their rates went up on average by 0.75%, their fixed rates on Tuesday. You're right, the outlier is Bank of Ireland at the moment. But look, it's only a question of time before they bring their rates back in line with what the other lenders are charging. So again, it doesn't take away from the point, I would strongly suggest first-time buyers to select a fixed rate, because we are in a cycle of continuing interest rate increases. There is uncertainty. And the one thing first-time buyers need with their first home is certainty around the interest rates. And hence, I would be a strong advocate of fixed rates for first-time buyers.
Okay, and for trackers then, would the advice be similar, kind of try and fix as soon as you can?
No, trackers are a little bit more interesting, because obviously tracker customers have experienced 11 years of the lowest interest rates we've ever had in Ireland, but conduit to that, and they've faced significant increases. Rates have gone up by 3% on every tracker mortgage since last July, with another 0.5% happening today. It really depends on where you are in the cycle. So, for example, if you have a tracker mortgage with, say, 5 or 6 years remaining, there is advice there that you should look at maybe the fixed rate alternative. And if you can get a 5-year fixed rate cheaper than what the tracker rate is today, I would be an advocate in those circumstances for somebody on a tracker rate to consider. However, if your tracker rate is over a longer term, if you have 10 or 15 years remaining, I'm still not a great believer in going fixed at the moment, because if you go fixed now, you're going to lose your tracker for good. And rates are not going to stay at these levels for the next 10 or 12 years. The cycle we expect is that rates will start coming down in about 2 years' time. Now, not as dramatically as they've increased in this cycle, but they will start coming down. So you need to consider very carefully with a longer term remaining whether the benefits of taking a short-term fixed rate now will outweigh the benefits of losing your tracker mortgage. But for some people, and I advise a significant number of people, they are struggling to meet their mortgage repayments on their tracker rate at the moment. So in those circumstances, they have no choice but to go fixed, because the fixed rates will be cheaper than the average tracker rate. The average tracker rate at the moment is between 4 and 4.5%. You can get cheaper fixed rates than that. And in those circumstances, if you are struggling, and it's only if you're in those circumstances, the fixed rate is one you should consider.
Okay, if we look then at property prices, Michael, and yesterday the CSO's Residential Property Index found prices went up by 6.1% in the year to January. That represents a slowdown compared to December, where it was 7.7%. Here in Kildare, the median house price is $370,000, which is the third highest in the country after Dublin and Wicklow. And we'll go through some of the various areas here in Kildare in a moment. But does it look as though the outlook is kind of bleak in terms of house prices?
Well, I think firstly, you've got two markets in a way. You've got the Dublin and commuter counties, and then you've got beyond that. Dublin house prices for the third month in a row are falling. Now, by marginal levels, but I mean that there is the result of higher interest rates is having its impact there in terms of where prices are. But then in other locations outside of Dublin, you're seeing prices are continuing to rise. But I think in 12 months' time, we're going to see a balance there. The real impact of higher interest rates are going to play a part in ensuring, to some degree, that people are limited in what they can borrow because interest rates have gone up as high as they have. And then the market itself will balance out. And I think the level of increases we've seen heretofore, we're not going to see them repeated this time next year. And it is encouraging to see that prices are not increasing at the levels they were. But it doesn't take away from the fact, as you alluded to there, like Kildare has the third highest price outside of Dublin at $370,000. It's reflective of its nearness to Dublin and the demand that there is for properties in the Kildare location.
Indeed, and it's no surprise that the highest house price in Kildare is up in the Selbridge area. The median price in Selbridge, W23 air code, €429,998. In the R56, Curra air code, €379,000. In Naas, W91, €377,000. In Newbridge, W12, €375,000. The R51 air code in Kildare Town, €333,000. The A83 in Enfield, €330,000. In Monastrevin, W34, €294,000. And in Athy, the R14 air code, €215,000. They're the median prices according to the CSO's Residential Property Index. So on that, and also the European Central Bank's Governing Council expected to raise interest rates by another 0.5 percentage point today after its meeting in Frankfurt. So with that analysis, Michael Dowling, Managing Director of Dowling Financial, thanks for joining us. We'll have more on that on our news bulletins throughout the day.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Delia has been in touch with a message to all the workers in KFM. Have a great St. Patrick's Day and weekend. Thanks for that, Delia. I hope you have a good one too. Also, could you please wish Misha Conroy a very happy 16th birthday for tomorrow? And that comes in from her nan, Teresa. So keep those messages coming in to us on 0833 97 97 97. Now, over 43% of farmland sold in 2022 was bought by business people, up from just 18% in 2018. That's according to the Irish Farmers Journal annual agricultural land price report for 2022. And joining me now is Paul Mooney, property editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Owen.
Tell us a little bit more about the key findings here in this report and what it looks at.
Yes, Owen, after declining probably for 7 or 8 over the past years, the supply of land coming in the market for sale actually increased modestly last year. The number of farms for sale rose about 5%. The number of acres put up for sale, Owen, increased about 8%, a small increase there. And following on from that, the average price paid for farmland around the country also increased, again, a modest increase of just under 3%. So they'd be the main outcomes for the property income.
Okay, I'm just looking here as well in more detail. If we go to buyer types, and based on the analysis, and I touched on this from the outset, business buyers accounting for 43% of farms sold in 2022. What exactly does that mean?
Okay, so I'm going to twist the figure on its head slightly. What it means is that full-time farmers would have bought over, you know, about 55-60% of all the farms that were put up for sale. The others were acquired then by this mix of the local business person who owns some land and still does a little bit of farming, of the, you might call them a part-time farmer then, but a good job, but they're still keeping the small home farm going on a kind of a part-time basis. So they'd be the people. Every year they're featuring more and more strongly. As you say, they've risen to now where they're buying over 40% of the properties that are sold across the country on average. It's a trend that's been growing and it's continuing to grow.
Okay, what about the size of farms then that are being bought, and where does beef farmers or tillage farmers fall into this category?
Yes, well, what we're seeing then is that this kind of broad business category of buyer, they do tend to buy slightly bigger farms than the full-time beef farmer, for example, own, and they're paying slightly more. And I mean, the crude line here is that because these people have off-farm income and off-farm savings, they're in a position to buy, you know, and to pay more and to buy their bigger pieces because they have more money available. So what we're seeing, therefore, over the longer trend is that the full-time beef farmer, for example, is now tending to buy the smaller blocks of land and probably buying these smaller blocks at lower prices. You know, they're the pieces of farmland that they can afford to buy from their full-time farming income. Now, we'd have to bring up then, though, the other enterprises in farming. For example, the obvious one is dairy farmers. Dairy farmers had a very strong 2022. with good profit margins, and they're looking, as always, to expand the operation to stay viable and to try and lift their family farm income. They're also under all kinds of pressures to meet higher environmental standards for water quality, etc. So they're looking for land, both to protect the income and also to help them meet these higher environmental standards. So therefore, unlike the beef farmer that we just mentioned there, the dairy farmer, the full-time dairy farmer, is absolutely out there in the market competing and buying what they can.
In terms of prices then for this land, Paul, where is the most expensive land for sale? I note Kildare is quite high up on the ladder.
Kildare is certainly up there, so too is Wicklow and your catchment there, Owen. But it's very easy to answer that question. The most expensive land in the country is in Leinster. Full stop. If you list out the counties according to the price, the average price of farmland made in those counties across the country, the first 8 or 10 counties will be Leinster. The first other county to get in there is Cork. You know, they're kind of big. This is the engine room of Irish farming in many ways anyway. But Leinster is, in terms of price, it's where it's at on. So the why is it would be an obvious question. Mm. You're seeing the effect there, the Dublin, the capital and the greater Dublin area, the concentration of business and all kinds of business cash flow, business money is there. It's affecting everything, spilling over. Property prices are all property prices are higher in the greater Dublin area, in Leinster, and so too with farm.
Okay, and the biggest increases in farmland prices were in Mayo, up 78%, Carlow up 28%. We also see Wicklow there up 23%. Can you put a little bit more context on that locally in terms of maybe where those sales were made here in Kildare or over in Wicklow, some of the towns?
Sure. Well, Kildare is always a kind of a good property market every year, because of the mix. It has a unique mix of kind of farming and land use in Kildare, between the whole racing and equestrian side of it there, and the good farming side. It has everything. It has dairy farming, it has tillage farming, sheep and beef. It has them all. So land prices very strong in Kildare. Without a doubt, they would tend to be stronger in the northern part of the county, because you're getting up towards Dublin there. All the expanding towns around there, Owen, Naas, Kilcullen, all these towns, Selbridge, Maynooth, Leixlip, in particular, those towns up there are rapidly expanding. Huge demand for farmland. I can go on and on. You've had, I say, a number of farmers around each one of these towns who would have had to really give up or sell part of their farm for development and housing. They obviously get a good price, and now they're back in the market trying to do what they do best, which is farming. They're looking for land, and they're competing strongly to buy land. We're seeing that. You'd see the same effect over in Wicklow, including in West Wicklow. Again, it's a great farming area. It wouldn't be quite as diverse as Kildare, but nonetheless, a good farming area, a lot of competition for land, and, sorry, I'm back again, a spillover effect from Dublin and the greater Dublin area.
Indeed, and it's kind of reminiscent, Paul, to house prices, I have to say. You know, when we look at the fact that it's expensive around Dublin, in the price disparities between counties, then Leitrim had the lowest average land price at 5,568. So the more you move further west, it seems to be a little bit cheaper, but the closer you are to Dublin, the more expensive land is. The same is, it can be said with houses.
Yes, and the same now would actually apply with the other big cities, you know, whether it's Waterford City or Limerick or Cork or Galway or whatever. You know, the same would apply. There is that effect, the spillover effect into the surrounding area. But it's strongest, of course, in County Kildare and County Wicklow, and as well as, you know, Meath and Louth.
Okay, you looked at the entire country. You also had a look at Northern Ireland. Is there a difference between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland land prices?
Prices are higher in Northern Ireland. They have been so over the last 5 years, a decade. But that difference in price widened in 2022, because as we just discussed 2 minutes ago there, the increase in prices down here in the south in 2022 was modest enough, but just under 3%. in Northern Ireland, the six counties in Northern Ireland, farmland prices rose last year by 22%, so a big increase. And that was about the third year up there of a big increase in farmland prices. So they're streaking ahead of us down here, Owen, and for many different reasons, because there's many different factors feed into farmland price. But it's an area, again, of strong, good, intensive farming, competition for farmland, and that's what we're seeing up there.
It's a very comprehensive report with some fascinating figures locally here in Kildare, over in Wicklow, and even down in Carlow. And before I let you go, Paul, if we look at the top lots that were sold by price per acre, Kildare and Carlow both featuring there.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, there was some very high-profile sales that you guys would have covered and mentioned through the year last year. A number of stud farms sold there in Kildare, and they would have made up the highest prices there, touching on 40,000 per acre for a stud farm sold there quite near Salbridge. Two of them actually sold, and they were both very high prices. The same owner, of course, the Derrinstown Stud Group. So they would have kept everybody busy, and it's the year that was there.
Absolutely. All right. Listen, thanks so much for joining us on the show this morning. That is Paul Mooney, property editor with the Irish Farmers Journal, the new annual agricultural land price report for 2022 has been announced and released. You can get more information on the Irish Farmer Journal website, or of course pick up a copy of the newspaper in your local shop. Thanks indeed, Paul, and very good morning to you. Have a good long weekend. Let's go back to local issues, and I'm joined now by Fine Gael councillor and mayor of Kildare, Fintan Brett. Good morning, Fintan.
Morning, Owen. Good morning, listeners.
Fintan, before we get to some local issues that you've been raising with the council, first of all, there's an update in relation to Kill Equestrian Centre.
Yes, actually, before I go to that, during our MD meeting on Tuesday, we suspended standing orders to have a discussion on the lack of communication, and it was agreed by all councillors that the mayor of the district, Evie Salmon, would write on our behalf, outlining our frustration and other items at the lack of it. But as things turned out, I had a call from the minister's advisor yesterday saying that there were issuing communication. I believe a lot of people have got the communication, but as a councillor and as mayor of the county, I haven't got anything as yet. So I understand he's laid out his stall and what's happening there, and is going to arrange a meeting with people on it and update them on what's happening. So we, on the 3rd of April, they're expecting to move in 114 people and then to increase it up to around 200 and that. And they, I suppose, with all the talk that's been going on and that there, he did say that he didn't see it being increased a lot over 200. So I suppose at least we, a small bit of certainty there, and we'll see then in the coming week how the meeting, etc., pans out with them.
Okay, and I note as well, just from seeing on Facebook, that there is a protest being held outside Kill Equestrian Centre this morning in relation to that. But that's the latest update that we have from the Minister's office, and I know residents there are unhappy with the lack of communication. And again, we'll be covering this in due course. Fintan, some of the other issues that you have been raising, you wanted a full road restoration to be carried out on the R407. This is from Clane to Salins.
Yes, this is a very busy road, and as all commuters would be aware, there was a lot of work done on the Upper Liffey Valley sewerage scheme connecting from Clane into Salins into Osbertstown a few years ago, and that came down that road, and there was a lot of digging and that done to install them pipes, and I was really asking when that restoration work would be done. And at the junction to Rathmore and Blackhall, there were small bits of flooding that I wanted to get sorted out. But a good report back that it is included in this year's programme of works, which is very good, and that should really improve that road.
Okay, are the council going to commission a survey of estates in the Naas Municipal District over 10 years old to establish if unsuitable trees are planted? Because that's what you were calling for.
Yeah, I suppose this comes from the fact, Dawn, that we are spending huge amounts of LPT funding on repairing and replacing footpaths in estates, both old and new, where a lot of the problem is trees. And at our briefing on the roadworks on that, I asked the area engineer what percentage of the footpath replacements would be caused by tree damage and that. And while he didn't have it, he said quite an amount on that. So really what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to deal with the symptoms, I'm trying to deal with the source of the problem rather than the symptoms, where we are taking out footpaths because of a heave caused by trees. And now there's a lot of problems that this causes insofar as nobody wants to remove trees and biodiversity and all that. So what we've agreed is that where councillors have been told there's problems, we're going to look at it ourselves, maybe get the parks department and see how we can deal with it and see if there's young trees that are likely and have proven to be troublesome in other estates, similar type trees, that we can get them replaced now, so we're not spending good money after bad down the road repairing footpaths where trees, because of the rooting system, cause heave and the accidents and the claims and the multiple millions that it costs various councils around the country. So it's purely trying to deal with the source of the problem rather than the symptoms.
Well, what's the issue at River Lawns in Kill? Because I noticed that trees are mentioned here as well.
Well, I had we have an undertaking from the Parks Department to remove one or two trees. There's Lenlandi trees there, and they've gone out of control, huge and over, sort of causing damage to a wall and very much overhanging a nearby house. So we're trying to get that one or two of them trees removed there because of this. And the council are waiting well over 12 months to get an outage on the ESB to take down the tree. And this is something that I find absolutely unbelievable, because not only council, but from builders and people around, I've never got so many complaints about the ESB, about the astronomical prices they charge and the wait time to get connections, whether it's a new connect to housing estates. And the worst of all this is that some fairly sizable builders don't want to go on record on it because they feel they'll be left waiting longer on that. And this is not the way it should be with a public utility like that. I just get a feeling that the ESB are not fit for purpose, and someone has to keep raising this subject and get this brought into the public domain, because it's just not good enough.
Right, finally then, Fintan, you're describing a no man's land area in Salins between Castlesize Close and Castle Fen. You want to find out if the council have plans to clean that area.
Yeah, there's two estates, as you mentioned there, Castlesize and Castle Fen. They're back onto each other, but the gardens, there's garden walls on both of them, and there's an area between them. Normally in estates, one wall is back onto the other, but there's an area there that got overgrown, and there's complaints about infestation of rats and that there. So I was asking the council, could they clean it out or get it tidied up? But they're saying that really it's not their issue. So I'd put it back to the resident associations in both areas and see, can we come up with some solution on it?
Right, so whose issue is it then?
I'd imagine it'll be down to the
residents.
Yeah, the house owners that's backs onto it and that. So over time, it has happened. I've seen it in lots of areas where there was an area of, as I call it, no man's land there. And the residents have really just taken it over themselves and sort of taken it into their own property and maintained it at that. Because really, it's not that people want the area. All it is more work, really. But at least they can maintain it if they can take out their back wall, or maybe let it run onto their neighbour's wall, or come to an agreement that someone or other, or the two estates, decided they'll maintain it between them. But it's just that if you have this infestation there, it's going to be there until it's dealt with.
Okay, Fine Gael councillor on the Naas Municipal District and Mayor of Kildare as well, Fintan Brett. Thanks for joining us, Fintan, and good morning. And again, to remind you about that update that residents received in relation to the Kill Equestrian pedestrian centre and housing refugees there. They got a message last night to say that the initial date for commencement of operations at the Kill facility is intended to be Monday, April 3rd. It's intended that the first group of 114 residents from Ukraine would arrive on that date, comprising family groups, single mothers with children and single women. Another similarly sized group from Ukraine would potentially arrive a month later. That's the official correspondence from the Department of Integration to the residents of Kill. But as I mentioned, there is a protest taking place outside the entrance to Kill Equestrian Centre this morning by residents of the Kill village. So we'll keep an eye on that as well throughout the course of the day. But Fintan Brett, thanks for your time.